I don't know if you like lists. Shopping lists, Christmas lists, New Year's resolution lists. I'm sure you've got other lists that you have. But what about the worst list of them all? The to-do list. I'm sure you've all got to-do lists. Put the picture on the wall. Mend the kettle. Visit Ethel. And so on. For some reason, the to-do list never gets crossed out. It always seems to grow, doesn't it? The more you seem to do, the less free time you have. Some of us might even have a prayer list. We might be praying for John's broken leg, for the new pastor, for a school play or the new job, or even that forthcoming visit to Ethel. But how often am I thankful for my salvation? Today is Sunday. You would assume that because of all the blessings that God has given you and me, that we would be extremely thankful. But it is quite often the opposite. The more we get, we become less thankful to God. We become complacent and take things for granted. We are in a danger of leaving God out of the good things that he has given us by his grace. Turn to Psalm 100, which is on page 604. Psalm 100 was written to the people of Israel. They had come into the promised land, but it doesn't take long to realise that the people of Israel needed a reminder of what God had provided for them. They needed to be thankful. We need a reminder. Maybe God has us in mind too in this psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful song. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. Notice who this psalm is addressed to. In the first verse, it says, all the earth. And in the last verse, it says, all generations. This message of thanksgiving applies to every person throughout time, in every stage of life. And that means that it applies to you and I today. There is something about giving thanks together to God that breaks down barriers between his people and brings about unity. But there is a real danger that our thanksgiving becomes focused on what we have. For that nice house you have, for the money you've got in the bank, for your new boss, and that visit to Ethel that turned out all right. The things that we get thankful for are often things that are not important in our lives. Things may change at any time. They may drift away or burn up. Or sometimes something may steal them. Think of what we talked about with Job and about how his life changed. The only thing we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord. Just look at the psalm and see where the emphasis lies. In verse 1, you will find the name of the Lord. In verse 2, you will find the name of the Lord. In verse 3, you will find the name of the Lord. In verse 4, it says, enter his gates with thanksgiving. And finally, in verse 5, it says, you will find the name of the Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving starts with the Lord. Let's go through the psalm in a little bit detail. Verse 1, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Shout for joy, a shout of joy to the Lord. Maybe he's solved a problem for you. Maybe he's given you a direction to go. Maybe he has given you a blessing and you realise it has come from God. Then shout your praises. Shout with joy. Verse 2. Worship the Lord with gladness. It says worship the Lord. The Bible teaches that if we witness, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we are worshipping the Lord. Jesus said, truly, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. We must not serve him out of feeling of duty or guilt. And we must certainly not want to serve him because we want to draw attention to ourselves. The psalmist said, whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness. Worship is something we should be doing 24/7. It has been said before that the exit signs in this building should actually read worship exit or mission field. Verse 2, come before him with joyful song. God has said, I want you to be happy. Shout with joy, serve him with gladness and come with a joyful song. Come before him and serve him and sing his praises with joy in your heart. Verse 3. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us and we are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. God formed every bone, every joint in your body. He welded you together with sinews and muscles and covered them with skin and gave us eyes to see and brains that think and fingers that can pick up things. God made us inside and out. Just look at the person next to you. He made them, warts and all. He made me and you the way that you are. Then he said, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Now, Joe knows this because I've talked about it in the nursing homes. Sheep are the most stupid sheep animals in the world, lacking common sense. So what's the fun of being a sheep? Don't we want to be the shepherd? Don't most of us want to be the shepherd and not the sheep? It's no fun being a sheep. However, we don't know where the still waters and the green pastures are. And every time we go out searching for ourselves, we normally end up lost. What have I done? Excuse me. No, you are better off being sheep. Let Jesus be the shepherd and he will lead you beside the still waters and the green pastures. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues throughout all generations. In the Old Testament, the temple symbolised the presence of God. So when people went to the temple, they entered the courtyard they knew had come into the presence of God. Now the temple no longer exists. But often the place where we meet is called the sanctuary, the house of God, indicating that God is there. That is not true. God is everywhere. He is with you when you drive. He's with you when you go out those doors. He's with us now. He's with you when you work. He's with you when you care for your children, when you care for Ethel. Every moment of your life, he is there. That is the time to start our thanksgiving. Every sermon has a but, doesn't it? So I've got some what ifs for you to think about. What if God began to treat us like we so often treat him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower because we grumbled when God sent the rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the same way we answer his call to service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we failed to follow him today? God is in everything that we do. Psalm 103 says, he does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. There is not one of us here today that has been dealt with by God the way we deserve. That is the grace of God. It is the same grace that each of us has. Just think about your own testimonies. You are here today because of God's grace. Take time to read Psalm 100 again. Don't just listen to the words listen to the words and what they are saying. Does your heart overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord? If you don't have personal thanksgiving to the Lord, then you have just sat through me talking about thankfulness. So why not take 5 minutes to find out a bit more about thankfulness in our lives? Then ask me afterwards and I'll point you in the right direction to someone who will tell you about their thankfulness to the Lord. When you know Jesus, you have a personal saviour. And settle down in your warm homes and have plenty to eat, don't forget Jesus. He led you out of the wilderness. He brought you back into the land flowing with milk and honey. When you know Jesus... So the bit I want to do now is that when you're teaching something, it's no good standing at the front and just lecturing people. The bit about teaching is to ensure that what you've taught has gone through to the people, because otherwise you're just wasting your time. So this is why this service is slightly different, because it's now congregational participation. We have just sat through 15 minutes of Thanksgiving, a sermon on Thanksgiving. So the rest of the service is down to you to give thanks in whatever way you want. Pray if you want to pray. If you want to sing thankfulness, sing thankfulness. We might even join if we know what you're singing. If you want to shout your thankfulness, then shout your thankfulness. What we're going to do now is I'm going to open it up, and at the end of however long it takes, then Julian's going to come and play, and we're going to continue to be thankful to the Lord. So it is down to you to make the sermon last longer. Well, I know one person it will be, but I'm not naming names. So as you feel led.